you talked about boozing. We did all that last weekend. Now, you want to talk about this week?
Proxy servers!
Now, what's a proxy server? I'm going to be the devil's dumb advocate.
Very good question, actually. Yeah, what are they? What is their function, basically? Now, proxy servers, I mean, a lot of people talk about it, and they throw the terms around a little bit and all that sort of stuff. But really, they have a couple of functions, and there's a couple of good obvious ones. One is as a firewall, and one is as a network cache. And a lot of internet service providers usually give you their proxy information so that you can set up the caching and reduce network traffic and
make it cheaper for them to run their business.
Exactly.
Because they don't have to buy all that bandwidth from the Americans.
Megabit and megabyte. So I don't know how much time we're left today, but we'll talk about firewalls, I think, which is a big ugly topic, really. And a firewall is a form of a proxy server. A proxy server basically really means that it's like an in-between server, you know, like some of those European weddings, you know, somebody gets the people together and sort of does a proxy marriage. Well, a proxy server is a similar sort of thing. It sits between you and the internet, or if you like, your internet service provider is your internet, and it sits between you and your service provider, if you like, if you're a small organization, school, or you've got a system at home with three computers that you want to hook onto the net.
It's like a warehouse that passes information to and from.
I like that. Yeah, it's a little bit like that, actually. In fact, no, it's very much like that, come to think of it. Oh, I like that analogy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thought about that all day, Ed.
You what?
I thought about that one all day.
Oh, good. Ooh. Okay. Now, firewall proxies. A lot of people look at firewalls as a security device, right? And they say, look, it keeps you safe from the net and people can't get in and people can't get out and stops viruses from coming in and people getting at your vital data and things like that. Now, it can actually serve a bit more of an perhaps more interesting function, or a function that I think is more interesting anyway. It can actually be used where you only have, for example, one or two IP addresses allocated to you. And IP addresses are running out on the internet.
There's a worldwide shortage of them.
Yeah, and we might even talk about that one of these days, because I've got some information on what's happening in that regard. And I even hear that... I think the Australian
IPVNG is coming, which stands for IP6,
isn't it?
New generation, or IPv6.
Yeah. So, and I believe actually IP addresses have stopped to be allocated in Australia. Is that right? I'm not
get
sure
them anymore.
That's
and
right,
then that's
it?
Why people ring up and say, "I just want one."
Yes.
You go, they're in a shortage. You've got to wait.
And that's right. And even internet service providers who are possibly growing like wildfire, you know, how do they hook up users with their limited IP addresses? They might only have 256 IP addresses or something like that. How do they get 1,000 users on the net?
They don't.
They get really tight and they don't give out any IP addresses.
They chop you off or something.
They recommend proxy servers so you don't need as many IP addresses.
Dead right. Rita's got it again. You can tell she's got a bit of an inkling there about internet, that's for sure.
I bloody hope so.
Right, she works for one of the companies. Now, you, for example, you might want to hook up actually several users on one IP address, and a lot of internet service providers, from what I gather, are actually doing that if they've got more lines coming in than what they have maybe IP addresses to allocate to the lines.
Mm.
And what they actually do is they allocate, well, you would call it maybe fudgy IP addresses.
Private IP addresses.
That's better, correct.
Private.
192.
Private addressing scheme, quite
but
right.
This was all the little captains and military people that came up with this concept.
Yep.
So a lot of the words are very military-based, I think.
And basically what's actually been done is a range of IP addresses has been allocated for people to basically muck around with, but they're not real internet IP addresses, which I actually found wasn't quite right, because I pinged one the other day and it did respond. Unless maybe they've changed the private addressing scheme and changed the IP address ranges. But anyway, the idea behind that is that people can use it for experimenting maybe on their local intranet or their local little internet
connected site. You can ping private IP addresses given that they're advertised on your network.
There must be somewhere,
yeah.
I suppose.
So like we have a whole... Access One, for example, has a huge range of private IP addresses and they're only available on our network.
Yeah. Mm. So, but I actually managed to ping one in America, which frightens the life out of me.
Ping on!
So anyway... So what we're basically talking about is that you can effectively reuse IP addresses behind each proxy server. And that's the idea, so that, you know, your proxy server's got one IP address and the people on the perhaps firewall side might have 16, 20, 50, 100 people.
Mm.
And all basically getting connection to the internet with this one IP address.
Mm.
So how does it work? Well, it's smoke and mirrors, I thought.
Isn't it called IP translation?
Well, yeah, that's right. But what we're really talking about is how does it work? Now, the firewall is basically like a gap in the internet, and the internet can't see the workstations on one side, and the workstations can't actually really see the internet on the other side. Now, what you basically have to do is you've got to run firewall proxy client software on your server, which effectively does the bridging for you, because otherwise one can't see the other. And in fact, the way you do it is, in the case of a firewall, that the internet actually still cannot ping one of your workstations. They can ping maybe the server with your IP address, that's the genuine one, but they can't actually reach your workstation. And what the little software does on your proxy server, and you would have a client, for example, if you want to do FTP from your side onto the internet, an FTP client. If you did want to do the HTTP protocol stuff, you would have a HTTP client, and Telnet, of course, you would have a Telnet client. And basically what the internet thinks you're doing is it actually thinks the proxy server is accessing the other remote site on the net. It's not actually the user, and that's why, like, they call it, well, like this warehouse or this sort of an in-between idea. You're actually talking to the proxy server, and then the proxy server actually talks to the net on your behalf. And that is really done, I suppose, with smoke and mirrors. And that's how it works. So you've got to have that software on there, and then you can actually do it. Now, that sounds probably pretty complicated, and actually I think it really is, because it takes a lot of setting up, and it's not really for the faint-hearted. And where would you use this kind of thing? Now, you might want to hook up several users on one IP address, as I said. Where the heck would you even want to do that? Well, for example, if you've got a small organisation, a small business, or maybe a school where you've got an internet account with your internet service provider, and you want to hook up several people. I even know people who've got maybe three computers at home, a bunch of kids, the whole family starts to surf the net on a little proxy server.
Because you can set it up on Windows 95. It's pretty basic.
There is even a Windows 95.
It is the problem.
But you need extra software. You need iShare, stuff like that.
Yeah, you need something like that. Or any kind of... Like there's, do you know what the most popular Win 95 server is?
The proxy server, is it?
It's called Spaghetti.
And I haven't heard of that one.
Guess where it comes from? Italy.
I like it. That's good.
But it's really popular. It's shareware. And
but
it's free.
Actually, that's right. And this is the point. You know, how much does it cost? People talk about proxy servers, firewalls, things like that. What does it cost? Well, look, don't let them tell you you're going to have to pay $5,000 or whatever. In fact, we do a proxy server thing that we offer to people, and you can get in as low as $500 if you've got a spare computer like a 486 or something like that. And if you don't believe it, we've put some info on at www.mychronica.com.au/Mychronica/subscript, which has basically got some information there on proxy servers.
Well, right.
And it really is great for schools and small businesses, you know, where you can get on the net for under $1,000. Now, I think the things that Rita was saying about the shareware, that's actually interesting, because I believe the Wingate one and the iShare one, which has been around for a while now, I believe they're not shareware anymore. I think
they cost money.
Somebody said, that's right, you pay by the user, and I think they're $500 as well. So,
wow.
But it's something to think about if you want to maybe get your school on the net, or your family, or maybe a small business. It's a great way to go.
Thanks for that, Ed. I'm confused as buggery, but I'm going to go have dinner anyway, so it doesn't matter. But that's Bite Into It for this week. We'll be back yet again in 7 days' time. Thank you to everybody for coming in tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll be back next week, and Duncan will return and bring more of the bandwidth. Anyway, Fast Fictions are up next.
Good night.
Bye.